Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte clear liners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you could pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Hey, y'all. Seven Rounds in Heaven is back. We're brought to you by Sports Drink. It's college football all-star game season. Shrine Bowl practices started today. The NFLPA Bowl is tonight. And the Senior Bowl is just a few days away. It is I, Rob Paul, a.k.a. the Senior Bowl Shadow Director. You'll never get the quarterback list. Joined by AJ, hashtag, the draft starts in Mobile, Marchese.
It's just different down in Mobile, Rob. You don't get it.
And today, we're kicking off our 2023 Senior Bowl special by breaking down the American team. That's
Seven rounds in heaven with my baby, driving out to KC maybe, looking for Stroud or a Bryce Young.
Who's gonna wear a Hawaiian shirt today?
Who's gonna put ketchup on a stick?
Who's gonna find a steal in the fifth? The home team, let's go seven rounds. Let's go seven rounds together. Let's go seven rounds forever. And that's a song.
Today's episode of Seven Rounds in Heaven is brought to you by Sports Drink, your digital water cooler. Sports Drink is a newly created internet community that tries to find the intersection of sports and not sports. They're here to help us grow and to hate your favorite team. A rising tide lifts all boats, so go check them out online or on social. Go to sportsdrink.org or open Instagram and type in @sportsdrink, spelled like sports drink without the vowels. All we ask is that you close the door behind you. We're trying to find the perfect sports drink. You like that?
Yeah, I like that.
Change it up, throw the people off, because it's Senior Bowl week. The greatest week of the year. When everyone ODs on Jim Nagy content. Speaking of Jim.
He's just the bell of the ball right now.
Him and the social team over at the Senior Bowl have yet to release the quarterbacks for the Senior Bowl. Like, we know who they are, the seven quarterbacks. We just don't know who's on which team.
Well, do we? Maybe there'll be mysterious dropouts.
Maybe. That's my biggest fear, honestly. They've tweeted out every position but quarterback and special teams. The roster online is updated with every position but quarterback and special teams. So we're just going to take the quarterbacks off the top and ignore them as we do the rest of the American team special and when we do the national team special tomorrow.
Yeah, that makes sense. I don't know why they won't just tell us who it is on which team.
I'm so fearful someone dropped out.
I bet you they did.
But, I mean... Yeah, they already, maybe Jim's just ashamed that they didn't get Levis or Stetson Bennett.
That's a good point. That's a good point. I think that's what it is. Honestly, I think Jim is still just like, he won't stop calling Stetson Bennett.
He threw shade at Stetson Bennett on Twitter.
Yeah, he knows that's how to get to Stetson. You got to put another chip on that shoulder.
You know what? In Jim's defense, I don't understand why Stetson Bennett wouldn't go.
Oh, yeah. Over. I feel like this is not a conversation I actually have, but yeah, I totally agree.
Okay, let's just get into it. So the quarterbacks we do know that are there. Tennessee's Hendon Hooker, who's still recovering from a torn ACL, so he won't actually participate. Smart guy, though, to go and get FaceTime with NFL franchises. Fresno State's Jake Haener, Shepherd's Tyson Bagent, Houston's Clayton Toon, BYU's Jaren Hall, TCU's Max Duggan, and Louisville's Malik Cunningham, who was a late call-up from the NFLPA Bowl, assumably to replace Stetson.
Yeah, I mean, I didn't really include Hooker too much in these because I figured he's just...
Hooker?
Yeah.
Why not? He's the best one.
He is the best one, but he's also not going to play for obvious reasons or practice.
Who was it? I think Swag Kelly did that too.
That makes sense for him. He really had to nail some interviews, and he didn't, except with the Argos, baby.
All right, we'll take some superlatives off the top here. Most talented, highest rated quarterback here. I mean, it is Hendon Hooker.
Mm-hmm.
I still went with him, mainly because he is, I think, so much more talented than the rest of the guys. He's got the arm talent. He's got the he's got the mobility when he's healthy. He's got kind of everything physically that you look for. And then on top of that, he's got the leadership traits we've all heard about. And this week would have been good for him because it's really about kind of seeing him outside of that Josh Heupel system and seeing more consistent ball placement outside of like the deep outside the hash shots, kind of seeing him attack over the middle a little bit more. So it sucks we don't see that, but he is clearly the most talented guy.
Yeah, I'll just double down on that and agree with you here. And I'll save who I had here for somewhere else, so it's easy.
So without Hooker participating, I think it's interesting because a lot of these guys, you're going to get a lot of people ranking the rest of the quarterbacks differently.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of these guys are in that mid to late day three combo, I think I pretty confidently say. And so for me, the biggest rise of the week is going to be J.K.
Yeah, I agree with you. Who I think is the second best quarterback here after Hendon Hooker.
Yeah, I think for me, it's like he's my sixth quarterback after the big four and Hooker right now. And I think he's entering the week probably being viewed as what, a mid day three?
Yeah, I would say so.
I think he could leave the week as like the first quarterback selected on day three.
I agree with you. And right now of this group, who do you think like is that guy? Is it Max Duggan?
No, I don't. Max Duggan's my second lowest rated guy here.
I don't believe it, but I've seen like early day three stuff on Duggan, and I don't.
I mean, Taysom Hill's carved out a pretty good career. That's a good point. So for me, I have Duggan. Duggan, honestly, is the second least interesting quarterback here. I have draftables on Hooker, Hayner, Bajent, Toon, and Hall, not on Duggan or Cunningham.
Yeah, but we'll get to them later. But yeah, I agree. I don't, I haven't been a fan, but no, I was just wondering because I think a lot of people are, and I think that this week is going to maybe clarify that. Because yeah, I'm with you. I think the Hayner's going to go out and have the best week of the guys that are actually playing on the field.
I think something that really helps Hayner too is I think he has the best combination of footwork, release, and short to intermediate accuracy. Like that deep accuracy is not going to be overly important in this setting. It's just putting the ball on your guy in those one on ones in the pass, Scully, in team like 7-on-7, 9-on-7.
Keep listening, Trills.
Holding PATs and the special teams. Yeah. But I think he's just the most put together like quarterback of the group, I think, outside of Hendon Hooker. I think, too, he's been so good out of structure at Fresno State. I think his mobility and what he does on the move will kind of raise my eyebrows. I think he comes out of here really maybe even being in a top five quarterback conversation. I am very high on J.K.
I know. I think he's clearly the guy to have himself the biggest week. I was going to ask you though, if you had to put another name after him for the second biggest riser, who would you call?
I think I'd go Tyson Bajent. He's my next rated guy. After it goes Hooker, Hayner, Bajent for me.
With this group, I had to put Tyson Bajent as the sleeper because I definitely think like first of all, he's fun as hell. When we watched him in the summer, I really didn't expect him to be as good as he was, and he deserves to be here, especially amongst this not as crisp group, you know. I think that's it. I think probably be between him and Clayton Tune. I think Clayton Tune can go out and can make himself some money too.
Well, I went with I had Hayner for biggest riser of the week. Mm-hmm. I had him. He's also my favorite, so I put him for my personal favorite. And I put Bajent for most approved just because obviously coming from the D2 level.
Yeah.
He set the D2 touchdown record, 151. You throw on the tape and he has an NFL arm. Yeah. I think one of the most exciting things about him too is he's good on the move. He can extend plays, keeps his eyes downfield. So seeing him just kind of make the step from the D2 level to going into Power 5 guys is going to be big. And, like, I have a late day three grade on him, like sixth, seventh round. Yeah. But I mean, if he comes out and just looks like a dude,
he can jump to a mid day three type of guy.
Well, and that's the thing about this group that makes it so interesting is in the last couple Senior Bowls, there's been a lot more quarterback talent. This one, not so much. And all these guys are kind of entering the week.
Yeah.
On similar ground, yeah. So it could really shake out so many different ways. And I think it's a huge week. I know, like, you're not taking what you see at the Senior Bowl and being like, oh, this guy was good there, I'm going to bump his grade up. Like, it's just going to return you back to the tape, going to cross-check some things. But seeing these quarterbacks who are all kind of, I think, going to be on similar level for most teams, like, this could be the defining thing that puts one above the other.
Mm-hmm. Especially for someone like Tyson Bagent, who has a really interesting story and... I assume not every NFL team has spoken to him yet or anything, right? And every team's going to be there, and they're going to have that chance. So, yeah, it definitely means a lot for him. My most approved is because I think he's got the most to lose is Max Duggan, who comes in with the highest, the biggest name at least. And I don't know about the highest expectations, but coming after that TCU, obviously amazing run down to the Natty. I mean, I don't know. Like, obviously, like, he's got some athletic traits, but I feel like this situation isn't going to make him shine. But again, no. he will kill interviews, I'm sure. He'll, you know, be bleeding 3 minutes into the first practice. he's gonna grit it out. People are gonna love him. I think this could go either two ways. One, the Duggan magic continues, and you know, it's just like, it's gonna be all week, it's all, look how tough he is, blah 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 blah. Or two, it's just like, oh, he looks like he is not the best quarterback here, which is what I believe. He's not, but I think the expectation is for him to be. I'm not sure. I really, it's a weird group.
It is.
I don't know the expectations. I also, in general, I feel like usually coming into the Senior Bowl, we have a lot of clear storylines. I feel like this year's a lot of like, it's kind of wait and see. And I think there's going to be dudes who emerge, obviously. But yeah, so sorry, you're going to make a point on Duggan.
I was just going to say, like, he clearly, I think, like you said, has the physical traits, but, like, this isn't going to lend to him being able to show off what he can do as a runner.
No.
Which I think is the most exciting part. He's a physical downhill runner. But he also has a big arm. He has the arm talent, like, no, I shouldn't say talent, the arm strength to kind of push the ball deep and rip the ball. But at the same time, his accuracy is so sporadic.
Yeah.
And I just think back to like the Quentin Johnson yeah, touchdown exactly. Yeah. Against Georgia.
Yeah.
And then on top of that, he's got kind of wonky mechanics. His feet aren't great. His throwing motion's a little elongated. I think this could really expose him or show his growth since the season, I guess. But
Yeah, either way, it's a big week for him. I totally agree.
Because, who's your personal favorite?
I was about to say, you know what? Because I think this group is wonky. Like, the one who I'm most excited to see, honestly, is Tyson Bagent. But in terms of personal favorite, the guy who's got nothing to lose here, and he's, like, the most fun football player, is Willie Cunningham. I just want to go see Willie Cunningham do cool stuff and be fun. That's why I put him.
Yeah, I think, I mean, if you're Malik Cunningham, you're coming off the NFLPA Bowl where, based on what Deontay Lee of The Athletic kind of reported from there, it wasn't anything special. It was a lot of, he was just very conservative. So I think what you want to see with him is just fucking let it
rip. Oh, yeah, just let it rip.
Absolutely. You're a great athlete, yeah. So let's see what that arm has.
Exactly.
I for sleeper, I went with Jaren Hall, mainly because I think... If you're betting on, I know he's older, so that's the problem. Like
he's sleepy.
A junior. Yeah, he's a junior who's technically 7 years post high school, but his arm is the best of these guys. Like he has a really talent, like real arm talent, yeah. And he is the best off platform quarterback in this group. He makes some spectacular plays out of structure. His issues, I think he's better deep than he is in the short to intermediate, and he has to kind of show that growth. He actually reminds me a lot of Drew Locke, which I don't know.
Take that for if the, you will, yeah.
Yeah, he went in the second round, so that's actually a compliment. So I think if he comes out, looks like he has the best arm, and just kind of makes a couple jaw-dropping plays, people are going to get excited.
I think Hall's a good pick for sleeper because it feels like, for all the buzz he did have, like in the summer and maybe early this year, that's kind of all fallen to the wayside. And it feels like he is not being talked about to the point that he was earlier this year. And it's kind of funny because if you told me that, like, he'd be at the Senior Bowl and it'd be like not much buzz around him, I wouldn't really have believed you. So I think that's a good pick. Yeah, the arm is clearly there, and you know, he can do some really cool stuff and off platform and stuff. But yeah, I don't know, man. Like, I think if I had to put money down, I think Haener is clearly the most impressive this week. But after that, I if anyone else is going to make themselves money, I don't really know who I put money on. Maybe Bajent.
I was going to say, I feel it, like, because we haven't really talked about him, but I think Clayton Toon's going to go and have the week where no one really talks about it, because it's not amazing, but it's not bad. It's just like, that was what you kind of expected. He's maybe the most, one of the more well-rounded quarterbacks here, like enough arm.
He looks the most like a backup who can play for a long time. Like, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
Like, you don't have to do anything to him. It's like, okay, Clayton, here you go. Here's the clipboard and you're good.
Reminds me of, like, a little bit more mobile, but Mason Rudolphy.
Kinda, yeah, but more mobile, which is good.
Yeah.
No, I agree.
Mason Rudolph statue.
I agree. I think that's the week Toon's gonna have, and I think it's just like, you know, go in the fifth, sixth round and stick around, yeah.
Like, I think Haener, Bajent, and Hall are the only three just who could come out of this week with a ton of positives being said about them.
Yeah. Agreed.
Got
that out of the way. Thank God.
Finally. Now, if Stetson was playing, we'd just do a show about the
exactly.
Moving to the official 2023 Senior Bowl American Team Special. This year, different. No NFL, full NFL staffs running each team. The Falcons and Patriots are running the Shrine Bowl.
No Patriots coaches are actually coaching.
I like that the Patriots D-line coach, DeMarcus Covington, is actually the DC at the Senior Bowl, too. So the Patriots get the most inside look. So the American team's got Bears OC Luke Getsy as head coach, Falcons QB coach Charles London as OC, and like I said, Covington as DC. Luke Getsy, man. He's gonna find Justin Fields some offensive linemen.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Which is the perfect segue into my most excited to see, because it's Syracuse left tackle Matthew Bergeron.
You know, I just put it as the offensive line. And, you know, I was always going to just put it as the offensive line. But, yeah, I you know what? I did it my potential first-round dudes. And then my next tier, who can jump, and I put Bergeron in that. Like, I think he can definitely be a potential first-round guy. But you know what I mean? I meant, like, you haven't seen his name too much there. So I love that. Yeah, let's go. Bergeron.
I think Bergeron is my highest rated tackle at the Senior Bowl.
By how much, if I may ask?
By a round.
Really? Even like in this team or the whole game?
The whole game.
All right. I like that.
It's because of, I think he's such, for his size, 6'5", 320-ish, really good athlete in space. He is unbelievable climbing to the second level. He's going to be a great run blocker in his own scheme. I think he's just got the best combination of size, athleticism, and run blocking ability. Obviously, the thing that he needs to prove this week is more consistency in pass protection, where I think he did get a lot better this year.
He did.
Because it was a problem last year, but he got a lot better this year. You want to see him just kind of fix some technique things in his pass pro set. Like he consistently takes a weird false step. So it's just kind of fixing that, which I think if he fixed that, like he clearly has the athleticism, the lateral agility to, in his kick step, like reaches landmarks on time, but it's just fixing the false steps. I want to see him kind of use his hands a little better, cause he is a bit of a body shielder, if you will, when mirroring pass rushers. So I think he's really set up to have a strong week. And obviously this class has, you know what? I forgot one of the tackles was there. So he's actually,
DeJuan Jones.
DeJuan Jones is kind of on the same level.
For that's what I was trying to get at. I'm like, wow.
Cause yeah, he's on the national team. Yeah. But I think more on Jones tomorrow, but I think, Bergeron has the potential to be that first tackle taken after Broderick Jones, Pierce Gronsky, and Paris Johnson.
Yeah, I think the potential is there. I agree with you. So yeah, I had him in my like my tier who can jump. But like starting with like the guys that we've seen mocked in the first round quite a bit, I think it's really only two guys, and one's kind of slipping a bit. But that's John Michael Schmitz, who the hype's slipping a little bit. And I think similar story, even though, you know, with Osiris Torrance, who, you know, consistently mocked. I think the Steelers are the popular pick right now. I think with Torrance, he's kind of a product. I don't think I'm as high on Torrance as others are. I think he's more of a product that this group isn't that good. And I think just seeing both of them, Schmitz and Torrance, in just those one-on-one pass protection situations is going to be really interesting. Against a lot of, you know, highly athletic dudes, the times you'll see the edges kick inside, but like a lot of those tweener edges too that we'll see inside at the Senior Bowl. I think just seeing both of them in one-on-one situations is going to be really, really interesting, and like not make or break for them, but just make and hurt. You know what I mean? Like, I think Torrance sometimes, you know, just because his pure size, it might not be a situation where he's going to shine. I think Michael Schmitz too, it's just like better as a run blocker, but like then they'll also have the opportunity there to shine. Then I think like in the next tier, who can like jump up and make themselves like, you know, top 50-ish dudes. I put Bergeron there, and I agree with you. He could become a potential first-round pick. I think Darnell Wright could go out and have himself a really, really good week. So I really want to see what he can do. And then one of your guys from the summer who, like, I'm still personal. Like, it's, I think it's fun because there's a lot of guys I'm not sure where I am on yet, and that's Steve Avila. And
my guy, Big Steve.
Your guy, and yeah, he could definitely go up. And we've talked about, like, the interior class isn't that good. Like, he can really go out and make a name for himself, too.
Mm-hmm. I agree. The offensive line, I think, for both
is the most
squads.
Yeah, it is.
I should say both trench play. The D line, yeah, and the O line, like, I think, is by far the most exciting thing.
It definitely is.
I like the DB group a lot too, but the wide receivers maybe leave a lot to be desired.
Yeah, I also feel like the safety group is just a lot better than the corner group.
Yeah, that's fair. And speaking of the safeties,
there you go.
My most excited defensive prospect to see is Georgia safety Christopher Smith. He's long been one of my favorite players in college football, one of my favorite prospects over the summer. He's currently my third safety in this class, my highest rated senior safety. Seeing how, like, one, seeing what he measures in that, because he's a little small.
Yeah.
Seeing how he looks in one-on-ones, maybe getting the thought of, could this guy come down and be a nickel? Because he played a lot of too high, overhang and single high at Georgia. But his instincts are off the charts. Like, both as a zone defender and as a run defender, where he's just puts his body on the line every time he fucking runs the alley.
Yeah, man.
He's the best alley runner in this class, I think. And one of the best tacklers and most physical players. And so I just want to see how he stacks up kind of in one-on-one, seeing if the size is a concern, how big of a concern it is, and just seeing him be physical as hell.
Yeah, like you just said, he's a guy who plays well beyond his listed size, though. Like, I think if you watch him on the field, you wouldn't guess that he's as slight as he is. But yeah, he's just fun as hell to watch. I put him and I put Jamie Robinson here, too. But yeah, with Smith, he just feels like he's a guy that's going to be an alpha any field he steps on. You know, like, I think he's going to go there and just command this group. And like you said, just that fire in his belly.
Yeah, it's like the IQ and the instincts. I just don't see this guy not immediately starting in the NFL. There's a couple guys who could be the Jalen Petrie of this class, you know, and I think he's in that conversation.
And so Jamie Robinson is what I wanted to bring up, too. And yeah, it's like they do everything. And another feisty as hell player. So just seeing these, not that I wish they were split up, because I think it's going to be fun as hell to see them both on the same team. Like, it's, you know, rep after rep, seeing these two guys just go out there and give it their all and, you know, just be warriors. I think that's a hell of a lot of fun.
And I think it'll be fun to see the difference, because I think Christopher Smith's more of that classic, like, two deep safety, where Jamie Robinson, which is obviously what Petrie played for the Texans, but was more of that Swiss Army knife nickel at Baylor. And that's what Jamie Robinson's been for Florida State. Like, he's been more of that nickel box guy. And getting to see his one-on-one cover skills, I think will be exciting, especially because he's got a little more size to him than Christopher Smith. Mm-hmm. And as we see more bigger slot receivers, like, guys like with size at nickel are going to be important. And I think he's one of those guys.
And I think nicely for Christopher Smith, the tight end group is just meh. I think he can go out and shine.
Well, he gets to take on the guy maybe being touted as the best prospect on the team, too.
Yeah, we'll get there soon, yeah.
Maybe less touted prospects, though. The non-FBS guy to watch on this roster, I think it's very clear who it is on the national team. But on the American team, it probably is pretty clear, too, just given the athleticism. We know Andre
Yoshivas. I checked the pronunciation. Okay. Yeah.
Wow. Thank you. I've heard his name pronounced three different ways on different podcasts this week.
I haven't heard it vocally. I read it, so I still could be doing it wrong. But yeah, I think he's clearly the non-FBS guy to watch.
6'3", 200 pounds, ridiculous track athlete, competes in the heptathlon for Princeton. I think he set the 60 NCAA, ran the fastest 60 in NCAA history. I think it was 6.71. The athleticism is clear on tape, but I think the other interesting thing about him is that size, and you see it show up in kind of contested catch situations where he makes more. Like, the thing you want to see out of him is him make the more layup-y plays, because you see him make the jaw-dropping ones on tape all the time, because he kind of only just runs. Goes and slants, I think, at Princeton, and screens at Princeton. So seeing that full route tree is going to be
important. It's going to be a great week for him, and just rep after rep, route after route, and seeing what he can do. I think that's going to be great. And I think he's going to be one of the biggest risers coming out of the Senior Bowl, especially in this wide receiver group. Unfortunately for him, he's on the team with the better group by far. If he was on the other squad, man, I think he would come out and be like, holy fuck, he's just cooking the rest of these dudes.
Yeah.
But yeah, I he's clearly the top dude. And like, just to throw Isaiah Land going out could have a really interesting week from Florida A&M. And then Jackson State's Aubrey Miller, too. So that's just going to be interesting. But yeah, I think Yoshivas is just the clear. Like, he could have a Christian Watson type of week, I think.
Similar style of player coming from the non-FBS.
I think Watson's a better
player. Yeah, no, I know what you mean.
Yeah.
Hey, I'll say this. I don't, like, Christian Watson by the media wasn't viewed as some top 100 guy going to Senior Bowl week, and then he went off.
Yep.
And then he had a great combine, and then we saw what happened once Aaron Rodgers stopped hating.
Yep.
The most approved on offense for the American team, I think without a doubt it's Luke Musgrave.
That's what I put. And then the thing is, if he's healthy in there, like, I'm performing, the hype for him has gotten really, really crazy for a guy that, missed most of the season. I don't know how much he's going to perform there, but he clearly has the most to prove. Because, you throw on the tape and you see the athleticism pop immediately, of course. And I don't know. Like, I hope he performs, because if he can, especially, like, I think it's a deep tight end class, but the group overall there is kind of, he's head and shoulders above everyone. So if he can go out and just show the freaky athlete he can be, and, like, I feel like for tight ends, it's he's got Christopher Smith, he's got Jamie Robinson, like, he's got dudes to go out and prove himself against, SEC and real athlete dudes and alpha dudes. Like, that's gonna be huge for him. I totally agree. I think he's the top guy, and I was gonna give a couple more one, but tell me why you put Musgrave.
6'6", ridiculous change of direction skills for a tight end of that size. Yeah. Can own the seam, has a great catch radius. You see him make contested catches all over his tape. But at the same time, it's the fact that, like, I don't see a first-round player on tape. I see one of the best tight ends in this class, yes. But I don't see a first-round player, and especially because unless you're a really special tight end, you probably shouldn't go in the first round as a tight end.
Agreed, yeah.
Especially in this class where, like you said, it's a really deep group. There's going to be a lot of talented day two tight ends. So seeing him go out and like you said, he's got a great chance against some of the best DBs in this class. Seeing him use that athleticism to just go up and win. And at the same time, I want to see him, like, how's he get in and out of his breaks? Yeah. And how healthy does he look? He only played the first two games of the season. He dominated them both.
Yeah.
But yeah, I don't know. The like going in the 20s is really a lot for me.
Now, I think he can go out and have a week that firmly puts him there, though, because of the talent and the athleticism. And I don't know. I lean towards it's not going to happen, but there's a chance, definitely. I'm going to go with two other pass catchers, and for kind of different reasons. One is with the expectations, but I put both the Texas AAC receivers in Tank Dell and Rashee Rice here, too. Tank, I don't know where stock is. So, like, you know, with that size, I think he's going to go out and shine with that quickness and his route ability and put on a good show. But, obviously he's got to measure in pretty well, and he has to consistently, you know, show up. And for Rashee Rice, I think just with the wide receiver group as a whole, like we just mentioned, he's got so much opportunity. And I think he is, you know, on paper, the top dude going into the week. So that just not to the same extent as Musgrave, but he's got to live it up to it too. And, you know, if he doesn't show that he's head and shoulders above, then there's a lot of expectation on him, right? So I put those two dudes.
Yeah, the wide receiver storyline of the week is going to be interesting just because, again, not the most loaded class. Good depth, but just not a lot of top-end slam dunk talent like we've seen in the last couple of years. And so there's a big opportunity for somebody to really help themselves.
Yeah, exactly.
I don't know who, but somebody.
Yeah.
My most approved on defense is Iowa State pass rusher Will McDonald.
That's a good one. I put a couple guys down. He was one of them.
He obviously everyone expects him to test off the charts. He is undersized for an edge rusher, 6'3", 236. So we'll see what he comes in at weight wise.
Yep.
But played kind of out of position at Iowa State, where they had him playing a lot of 5-tech and 4-I, which didn't really give him the opportunity to stick his ears back and just rush the passer. But you could see that explosive get off and just his natural ability to just beat guys with his athleticism. Seeing him this week against a good offensive tackle group in a position where he just has to think about pass rushing. And seeing if he's developed a pass rush plan, because that's my biggest thing with him. I do not – like, I've seen him mocked in the first round. I am not there with him.
Me neither.
And I don't think he's even the best edge rusher on this squad. So I'm excited to kind of see where he's at.
Now, his pure athleticism can go out and just absolutely, you know, shine. But like you said, it's a good tackle group. This isn't going to be, you know, him against a bunch of, you know, guys from Fordham, and where he can just throw on the speed rush and kick ass. You're right. He's going to have to show up and deliver a plan. I totally agree. I'll give you two other names. Henry To'oto'o from Bama, who on paper probably the top dog in this linebacker group there. I'm not a big fan of his. So I think he's got to go out and show that he is. And he's got to show – I think he struggled in coverage a lot this year. And he's got to show he can go do that. And he's got Tyjae Spears and McIntosh to prove that he can do it. So that's a hell of a test for him. I think he's one of the guys with the most to lose this week because I don't know. I don't know how you feel about him, but I don't think he's that type of high-end – like, I don't know if he's like a day two type of linebacker. And
yeah.
And he, the way he is, you know, people believe he is in the class, he's there. So he's got to prove that. And one more guy that we've seen game mocked in the first round out of nowhere is Tyreek Stevenson. So not to be rude, but we've talked about it. There's a couple good receivers on this team, but like if you're supposed to be a first round corner, according to some, you got to go out and shine against this wide receiver group. I feel like if Rashee Rice gets you a couple times and like Tank Dell's too quick and your Shivas, you know, is fast as hell, fine. But like most of this group, you got to kind of go to kick ass if you're supposed to be a first round pick.
Yeah, no, good take. And speaking of first round picks, who do you think puts themselves in the first round combo? I think right now, like the two guys who are clearly being mocked the most, we'll kind of try to stick to
guys who
are not the one off. We won't count the like one off, like when DJ mocks Tyreek Stevenson in the first round, but like the guys who are consistently mocked in the first round on this team are Osiris Torrance and Luke Musgrave. So the guy I want to say puts himself in the first round combo, and I could be very wrong, but I still really love Alabama defensive lineman Byron Young.
I threw a couple names down. I feel like this year is really a lot more like throwing darts blind.
Yeah.
He was one of the names I put down, though.
Yeah, a guy who played all over, like, I feel like he was just their fix-it guy.
Yeah.
Him and Will Anderson, because they play Byron Young anywhere. 3-tech, 1-tech, 4-I, edge, like, anywhere. 6'3", 290-ish. Really, plays with really fantastic leverage. Great quickness, lateral quickness, and gets off the ball fast. uses his hands really well, like has a pass rush plan, could be a power rusher. And just seeing him again against a pretty good offensive line group here, like if he, like seeing him against Osiris Torrance, I'm quite excited.
Oh, yeah, me too. That's that might have been my IOL IDL. It was, yeah, it was. you know, I totally agree. I think that's the highlight one. That's a great one. For two guys we already talked about, I put Christopher Smith's name in here. I think he's got a good shot. And I put Jamie Robinson too. Just two guys I think can go in and shine. We talked about them ad nauseum already. And then two guys I think, like, you know, maybe the next group that got a chance, I put Byron Young. And how about Dylan Horton, who I think could just, with his athleticism, coming off of, you know, a hell of a stretch run, can just go out there and absolutely shine too. And the thing is, I don't think there's a lot of guys from this team that aren't already in the first round conversation, that can really elevate them. But I think Byron Young is a really good bet. I think those two safeties we mentioned. And yeah, I think Horton is kind of the other one. Is there anyone you'd even, like, throw out there?
As I scan.
Like, I'm sure, like, I bet you if you go back years past and we do the same content every year, everybody. you go years past and, like, I'm sure there's guys we called a shot for. And I think last year I put Malik Willis and maybe he did throw himself in the conversation but didn't work out. But, you know, there's always guys that come out of here that are out of nowhere, you know, and no, I don't know. I don't see too many this year.
No,
I mean, Bergeron, but we've already talked about him. You could throw him here too. I guess he's not really there.
I think there's more options on the national team for that.
Yeah.
For that question, to be honest.
Yeah. Anyways, here's hoping to it's Byron Young though. I think that's a great pick.
Moving on to one-on-ones and speaking of interior. Yeah. I tried to go with guys I didn't list for the previous category. So for IOL versus IDL, I'm excited for big Steve Avila of TCU against South Carolina's Zach Pickens.
That's a good one, yeah.
Who he was a guy who had some first-round talk, former big recruit, put up some numbers at South Carolina. Seeing how he looks against a guy like Avila, a guy like Osiris Torrance, I think, again, a well-rounded player. I don't think he does anything like incredibly well. But stout enough as a run defender, solid get off, uses his hands pretty well as a pass rusher. Like, I think he's just a well-rounded, like, late third, early fourth round interior defensive lineman. So seeing him against Big Steve, who I think Big Steve can come out of here and be, I don't know, maybe the third rated guard in this class. I guess it depends where you slot, like, Skoronski, Cody Mock.
But yeah.
I put him very much, like, second best true guard in the class for me after Torrance.
Yeah, no, I think he definitely has that chance. That's a fun one. I think Pickens got a good opportunity. Like it feels like both teams are very skewed towards edge type of guys on the defensive line. You know, it feels like there's not too many true IDL guys. No.
It's not a great class.
No, it's not. It's not. So guy with his, you know, pedigree and everything definitely can go out and make himself a lot of money. And yeah, I kept it simple here. I just want to see Byron Young versus Osiris Torrance. And it's so good that you even mentioned it off the cuff earlier. I mean, I think that's just the star. That's just the star matchup there. I mean, we do get in the SEC, but like, I don't know. And I think I'm like, I want to see Osiris Torrance in those one-on-one pass protecting situations that, you know, when you're a guard, you don't, you know, you have more help, you know, like, and especially if you're center, but when you're a guard, you have more help there. And yeah, I think going back to Byron Young, there's been so many Bama defensive linemen that have been his caliber that have been so much more talked about, you know, and it always feels like he's kind of in Will Anderson's shadow to a point. I know they're not the same position, but so they're just going out and being a star in his own right, I think is going to be a lot of fun.
Agreed. I think, like, Osiris Torrance is a great anchor. Let's see how he looks. Like, his feet can be a little off balance at times. So, seeing how he deals with a quicker interior guy like Byron Young will be fun.
Yeah.
Going to OT versus Edge, I went with Darnell Wright versus Dylan Horton.
It's a good one.
Wright, obviously, has a lot of hype. Former big recruit. Was a big part of Tennessee's unbelievable season this year. Handle Will Anderson better than anybody in college football. At the same time, I'm not the biggest Darnell Wright fan.
I think I'm higher on him than you are.
I think he's a day two guy for sure. Oh, okay. But great size, great. uses his hands quite well as a strong anchor, but I think he can be taken advantage of because he really doesn't play with great bend.
Mm-hmm.
And his feet are a little bit slow. And so seeing him against Dylan Horton, who gets to go from being a 3-3-5 defensive lineman who's got a 2-gap to just, again, pinning his ears back, getting the rush passer, freaks list guy, former safety. I think that's such a fun matchup.
Yeah, it is. It is. Here I'll give you a guy that we haven't talked about yet. For the tackle, I threw on the tape and I liked what I saw out of Old Dominion's Nick Saldivari.
He's one of my favorite in the class.
Yeah. Like, most of this offensive line group are big schools. We got one small school guy, and he can go out and shine. You know, he's well-built. He's thick. He's got good feet. He's got strong base. Like, I put him against Derek Hall, who I think has got a lot of proof coming out of Auburn, too. Who, that's a guy I'm not super high on. I know some people are. So just, like, seeing, you know, this SEC talent against, like, the Old Dominion rock. I like Saldivari a lot. I think he can go out. Go ahead, yeah.
I was just going to say, he plays with great balance.
Yeah, he does. He does. It's weird. I haven't dug in too much. I did a couple games, but, like, he feels very, like, clean. He feels weirdly clean. And, I like him. He's just, like, thick throughout and just, yeah, balance. And it just plays a very clean game. So seeing him against, this is a good group of edge. He could be one of the stars of the week.
I think he's kind of a guy not getting talked about all that much, because you're right, he's Old Dominion, and this is a good group of senior tackles, I think, at the Senior Bowl.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, he's firmly my third on this team after Bergeron and Wright.
Yeah, I think there's always those couple small school offensive linemen that go out and like absolutely I fall in love with, at least, but even just make themselves a lot of money. And I think he's the, like, outside of Cody Mock, but I don't even count him. I think he's clearly the guy.
Going to running back versus linebacker, how could you not go with Tajay Spears versus college teammate Dorian Williams?
That's a good one. That's a good one.
Spears, obviously, dynamic space player. The James Cook of this class, if you will. Arguably, I think for a lot of people, he'll be a top 10 back in this class.
Mm-hmm.
Dorian Williams, a great athlete, kind of a hit-and-run type of linebacker. Seeing him deployed in more coverage opportunities, because he did a lot of spying at Tulane and blitzing, so it's getting to see him like have to carry a running back one-on-one. I'm excited to see that.
Yeah, I kind of had, like, I put Tajay and McIntosh against Henry Toto and Dorian Williams, so I'll go to the other one, Kenny McIntosh versus Henry Toto. Toto's got to stand up strong, man, but also, like, Kenny McIntosh, he can just go out and he's gonna kill it. You know, that's one of those guys that are just guaranteed to have a good week, and he's just going to shine in those route running situations. And Henry Toto's got to prove that he can cover and stick with those dudes. And yeah, so does Dorian Williams. And I think those two backs against those two linebackers are going to be the highlight in that in those situations this week.
For receiver versus corner, you kind of already touched on this one, but Rashee Rice versus Tyreek Stevenson's the popcorn one.
Agreed.
Like, Rice is easily the best receiver at the Senior Bowl. Best combination, I think, of speed to win deep, ball tracking ability, and yak ability.
Yeah.
Really flexible athlete, too. Yeah. So seeing him against big Tyreek Stevenson, who's a big press man corner, and Stevenson, again, has a good chance to really kind of elevate his stock. I think he's a top 10 corner in this class, but I don't think he's a top 5 corner.
Yeah,
so
yeah,
maybe kind of elevating himself there.
Yeah, I feel like that's clearly the highlight one. I put that down too. But to give you, like, just a rando fun matchup, I think Jonathan Mingo against Julius Brents, the big dogs against the big dogs, is going to be one that, like, every time they match up against each other, like, that was fun. So I put that one down here too. But for the highlight, I think it's Rice and Stevenson. Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. And then finally, tight end for safety. Again, one you already touched on, Musgrave versus Jamie Robinson. Just because I think if for teams that are looking kind of for that tight end stopper type in this safety group, I think that's Jamie Robinson, and obviously Musgrave's got the first round hype.
Yeah, exactly. And I mean, like, irregardless of what you think of Musgrave, he's clearly a phenomenal athlete, and he's going to shine in these one-on-one situations.
Yeah, just because we don't think he's a first round guy doesn't mean we don't think he's one of the best players
Exactly. So, no, yeah, if Robinson can go out and shut him down, that's going to mean so much. I mean, I think this whole safety group is going to go out and see, you know, Musgrave, you know, being put there, and just see dollar signs in their eyes, because if they can go out and prove it, then they're going to make themselves some big money.
All right, you want to get into the position by position, finish off here and do our superlatives for each position?
Yeah, let's do it.
All right, certain myth, obviously we did quarterbacks on the top, so running backs for the American team. I clearly Kenny McIntosh is the
most talented.
The most talented, yeah. Kind of. Maybe not clearly. I think this could break some, like, because him and both Kenny McIntosh and Tyjae Spears offer kind of similar skill sets. Yeah. McIntosh has more size. I think that's obviously a big plus with him. I think Spears is actually the better pure runner.
Yeah. Yeah, I think so,
but
too.
But both kind of those satellite-backed space players. But I have McIntosh as my most talented, highest-rated, but Tyjae Spears is my biggest riser and personal
favorite. I have the exact same thing, yeah. I totally agree. Do you think Spears comes out ahead of McIntosh this week? Do you think there's a good chance? Or, like what would you put the odds up there?
I think McIntosh, again, because of the size.
He's perfect for this situation, too. So it's Spears, but, like, you know, when you're an SEC guy, too. Anyways, go ahead. Yeah, sorry.
I think it's the thing that's going to separate them is the pass protection.
Yes, yeah.
That's always, like, I mean, that's how everyone fell in love with Damian Pierce last year. Yep. Right? So I think that's why Kenny McIntosh comes out on top. Although I will say a running back on the other team, I think, is going to come out above them both.
Ooh, okay, I like that. So jump to most approved. Who'd you put down?
I think it's Eric Gray.
You know, I it was hard to find a sleeper in this group. So I put
there's only four.
Yeah, ones, yeah, so. It is. I put Eric Gray as my sleeper because I think because for most approved reasons, I agree with you. Where I think like he's kind of like it's another guy whose his name is kind of, you know, the buzz hasn't been there, and I think he can go out and. And help himself big time this week. I want to hear why you put him for most approved.
Just because he obviously when he transferred from Tennessee to Oklahoma, a lot of hype. It didn't come to fruition that first year, but he had a really good year for a bad Oklahoma team this year. You throw on the tape and like he's a very good athlete. He's like he's built well, 5'10", like 209. I think he's got really natural change of direction skills. He catches the ball well too. But he's more of a he's being viewed in that day three realm, top 15 back, but not top 10 back.
Yeah,
I think he can push himself closer to that 10 with a big week here.
I agree.
And because again, athletic skills and ball catching ability.
Yeah, I would put him after Spears as my biggest riser, like just to call a shot. But yeah, he's definitely made to shine in the situation. For my most approved, I put Chris Rodriguez. He's got nothing left to prove, baby. But just to go out and prove that, like, he's got enough juice to be that, you know, you take him in the fifth round and he sticks as your power back for a long time type of dude. And, like, you know, if you're a bigger back, you got to go and pass protect well. You got to do all these things.
Got to show you can catch football.
A little bit. Yeah, absolutely. So on his plate, he's just got to go check boxes and, you know, he'll end up being where he's supposed to get drafted. Yeah.
Going to wide receiver now, a little bit more interesting.
Who's your sleeper, Rob?
Oh, mine was Rodriguez.
Okay, yeah. There's only four guys.
Just because like McIntosh and Spears are gonna get all the attention. Yeah. Eric Gray's got a little more clout to him than Chris Rodriguez. Yeah. Rodriguez comes in as he missed the first couple games of the
that
year.
Too.
Ducky as well.
Yeah.
Going to receiver, Rashee Rice clearly the most talented.
Exactly.
You talked about Tank Dell a little bit earlier. I put him for the biggest riser of the week because, as we've seen in the past, these kind of shifty, undersized but dynamic wide receivers look really good at times in one-on-ones. I think back to Penny Hart.
Yeah.
I think Tank Dell is the best route runner here in this group. He's just so smooth getting in out of his breaks. His release game's pretty good too, but also getting to see him deal with press. Like, he played a lot of slot at Houston. Like, he didn't have to deal with press all that much.
Couple bigger corners too. Yeah,
and improving. He's got the catch radius and ball skills to be an impact starter.
And he's got a good chance because his quarterbacks aren't very accurate. So, Sean, I put him for my favorite. I totally agree with everything you said. Like, he's gonna go out and shine in these one-on-ones because he's so damn jittery and he's a really, really good route runner.
He could be the Calvin Austin.
Yeah, that's the name I was about to throw out. Yeah, absolutely. I think he will be. But I already alluded to this earlier, but my biggest riser is Andre Yoshivas, who we talked about him. He's an athletic freak. He's coming from Princeton, so he's got the good head on his shoulders. I think he's going to go out and just in this group. I almost unfortunately, because if he was on the other team, I think he's just like, holy fuck, he'd just blow everyone away. But as a whole in the Senior Bowl group, I think he's going to just the athleticism is going to put him up there, man. I think he's going to. It could be a Christian Watson type of week. I don't know if it's going to be quite, but I think that potential is there.
Going to a personal favorite for myself, I got to go with Dontavian Wicks, the Virginia receiver, who I think is going to really help himself this week.
Yeah.
He over the summer, I think he had a lot of fans after having 1,200 yards as a redshirt sophomore. And then this year, 8 games, just 400 yards. Like, Virginia kind of fell apart offensively. They didn't have nearly the same explosive passing attack. Him and Brandon Armstrong didn't seem to be on the same page.
Yeah.
But I love Wicks' ball tracking skills. I love his ability to win vertically. He's a long 6'2". He wins contested catches. Really good body control. I think he's got a really good chance to come out and put himself in the top 10 receiver conversation.
I think that's I'm glad you brought him up because I couldn't really find anywhere to talk about Wicks, but I think a lot of that is fair. I think he can go out and have himself a big week. I agree with you there.
He's very underrated. And I put your Princeton boy is my most improved.
Yeah, it's a fair pick. It's a fair pick. I put Xavier Hutchinson, who I'm not at Iowa State. There's some people that are still fans of his. I feel like, you know, he suffered through terrible quarterback play his whole career there. Pause for the joke. He did. I think just going out there, I mean, he's going to have bad quarterback play again. But I feel like he's got an opportunity to prove himself. There's been glimpses of him, you know. Like, he's shown himself in glimpses, but he's been very consistent too. It's kind of weird. So just putting his full body of work out there in Mobile, I think it's going to be important for him.
And finally, for sleeper, I went with Darius Davis of TCU.
Me too, yeah.
Yeah, he's just – I have him above Hutchinson. I have him above Jalen Wayne. And undersized kind of jitterbug, does really well with the ball in his hands, can stretch the field, really good return man.
Yeah.
Kind of Isaiah McKenzie. I think just – kind of if he can get himself drafted with a good week here.
Yeah, I totally agree. Like, he's got that speed and everything, but like going out and being consistent, like route to route. I think he can definitely get himself drafted.
And you only touched on Jonathan Mingo a little bit, but I do want to say, like, I have a draftable on him. I think he has the best hands in this group.
Mingo's really good. I feel like he like so quietly had such a great season in the SEC. And yeah, he's a guy, I agree, he's another guy who can just help himself a lot. And it's kind of hard to get all the wide receivers to get talked about, so I'm glad you invited him out. Yeah. Easy to talk about all these tight ends, though, Rob.
Oh, yeah. Tight end. Most talent, obviously, is Luke Musgrave,
yeah.
Who I think we both agree also has the most approved.
Yeah.
But so my biggest rise of the week, I went with Miami's Will Mallory.
I did, too. Will Mallory's got the talent, man.
I think just kind of got lost in a situation where Miami was bad.
Yep.
Great size. A guy they split out in the slot. Played him at H-back.
If Mallory was on, like, a more consistent offense the last 3 years, I feel like his name would have a lot more buzz and, like, he'd be up there amongst – like, not amongst the type tight ends, but, like, in production-wise, I think he would have, you know?
Yeah, like, good speed. Mm-hmm. Can kind of win down the seam, can stretch the field a little bit.
Yep.
Good ball skills. Like, he's just a very solid pass-catching receiver with good size.
He's been doing it for, like, 3 years, you know? Like, he's been consistent. It's just, yeah, I agree.
So, yeah, I think he comes out of the week as the biggest riser. I think my personal favorite might be Cam Law, too, though, the Alabama tight end.
That's who I put, too. And it's funny for a guy, like, you know, a tight end on Bama that – like, they didn't have a lot of good pass catchers to kind of be under the radar, but he is.
Yeah, he I think he's a good mix of pass catching ability and blocking. He's well rounded all over.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, like I just see him carving out a long career as a tight end too.
Yeah, I agree with you, and I felt like that since the summer. And I can't think of a good like comp for him off the top or anything, but like just that really solid tight end too that is gonna be just consistent for like, you. I think that's the type of guy.
Like I don't think he's some dynamic athlete. Like he doesn't do a ton after the catch. But he knows how to settle in open zones and move the chains and very willing blocker.
Yeah, agreed.
And the sleeper is Braden Wells, who he had a good bowl game.
He did have a good bowl game.
But he's interesting, obviously, because he's kind of the fullback of the group too, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah, so. Agreed. No, I think those ones were pretty chalky. I agree with you.
Offensive tackle, we talked about a lot of these guys, but most talented I went with Bergeron.
I did too. Yeah.
Biggest riser, I went with Nick Saldivari
of Old
Dominion.
Yeah.
I really like him. But my personal favorite, we haven't talked about him yet, Tyler Steen, who I
know you were going to have him here. Yep.
The Alabama left tackle, Vanderbilt transfer. I think a guy who he needs to improve his footwork and hands, but and this is a great week to show he can. But he had a really quiet, solid year for Alabama. I think a pretty good run blocker who reaches the mm-hmm. second level pretty consistently. Not the most powerful dude, but enough of it. Just showing what he can do in pass pro going to be big for him.
I knew you were going to have him as your personal favorite. That's a good one. I put Darnell Wright, who we're split on, but I just think he's like a sturdy right tackle, and I think he's going to go out this week and just be consistent. And, yeah, he's got a couple things to clean up, like you mentioned, but I don't know, he feels like a battler to me. I don't know. I just feel like he's so sturdy.
I put him for most approve.
I put Wanya Morris for most approve.
Put him for sleeper.
Ah, there you go. I don't know. I remember just the hype for him a few years ago, and he's never lived up to it. And
him and Darnell Wright, former teammates.
Yeah, yeah. So I put Nick S for sleeper, even though he's not, but like I had to. I think he's got to go out and just prove it. And yeah, I think you pointed to some of the questions for Darnell Wright, so I think that's fair too.
Yeah, Wanya Morris interesting because I think he's a very good athlete. You can see why he was a five star. Yeah. You can see why.
Yeah.
But technically, like, needs to clean up a lot in pass protection. Again, good week to try and show he can.
Yep.
If he does, like, I think someone will fall in love with that those athletic traits.
That's definitely possible. I agree.
Interior offensive line. Again, clear, most talented Osiris Torrance.
Mm-hmm.
My biggest riser is big Steve Avila.
I put Warren McClendon. Sorry.
Oh, I put McClendon with the tackles, but that makes sense.
Yeah, I'm not sure. I'm not sure with McClendon.
But he doesn't have a ton of length, so that makes sense.
Yeah, I'm not sure with McClendon. But yeah, I think just going out there and being like consistent. And I think I move him inside, ideally. Especially because there seems to be more tackles than interior. Wait, is there? I don't even know anymore.
Yeah, there is.
It's weird. Some of the roster splits are very weird. Anyways, sorry for criticizing you, Mr. Nagy. But I think McClendon can just go out there and be like, we will get to see him some reps inside, I'm sure. Being very just steady and consistent, and I think he can help himself.
For Avila, he's a guy who's spent time at left guard, center, right guard, and right tackle. Yeah. So big O-line versatility. Massive. And that shows up in the run game where he just blows people out of the water. In pass protection, really heavy-handed, powerful punch, great anchor. I think him and Osiris Torrance are actually kind of a little bit similar. Just
they are,
massive guards with a ton of power. Power merchants, baby. And Avila is obviously my personal favorite as well.
You know what I put for personal favorite? I don't know. I feel like it's going to come out of this week. I feel like I'll fall for Torrance, Avila.
I know who it is.
Or John Michael Schmitz.
I know who it is.
Who is it?
You're going to fall for Emile Ikior.
I put him for my sleeper. I like Emile Ikior. Yeah.
Because he's going to, I think he's going to be taking snaps at center too. You're going to see him and you're going to be like, this guy could be a Seahawk.
Yeah. They love Bam off his lineman. I do. I put him for my sleeper. I think he's been like just really solid at Bam.
I did too.
Yeah. He's good. And for most approved, I'll give you two, but I put John Michael Schmitz to go out and prove he's OC number one.
Yeah. Like you touched on at the top, there was like first round talk at some point, which
not long ago
there with it.
No,
and now it's like midday two, like solid center prospect, yeah. Really big guy too.
Yeah.
Really great in the run game for sure. Really need to see if he has enough athleticism and bend and pass.
Yeah, so I don't. That's fun. That's a big question. And like I moved him up like this week from where I had him, like when I kind of peeked in on him during the season. Because I think I mentioned for overhyped, which I mean, I'll still stand on, but I moved him up and he's very good in the run game and that's going to be his thing. He could be a Seahawk too, but just proving himself. They're all Seahawks, baby. Just proving himself in one-on-ones against some of these like, you know, speedier dudes. And like some of these guys we'll see kick inside, like the hybrid dudes. It's gonna be a big question. I also put Nick Broeker to see if he could just reignite anything for himself here. He got himself there, baby.
Poor Nick.
I know.
Interior defensive line, a lot of Byron Young for me, where I put him for most talented, biggest riser, and my personal favorite, one of my favorite guys.
Good choice. I agree, except for biggest riser, put Zach Pickens.
Yeah, I put him for most approved because, again, a guy who had first-round hype of the summer, and it's gone now, but let's see, like, can he be a day two guy? Or what's his one thing that makes him so talented? You know, like, what's his X factor trait? I want to see it. I want to see, can he consistently get after the quarterback? It's after those two, it's like DJ Dale and Cameron Young, who are both nose tackle-y. I put Cameron Young for my sleeper just because I think like teams need guys who can come in and play 10 to 15 snaps a game as nose tackles and just eat space. And I think that is what Cameron Young brings to the table.
Yeah. I'm not sure how I feel about Cam Young. Like,
I think he's very powerful, plays the great leverage. He just doesn't have very much athleticism.
No, he doesn't. So, like, that's good. Like, I'll put him and Dale for most approved. I originally just had Dale. But for some reason, you're right, just going out there and just proving that he can be one of those dudes that come in 15 snaps a game and he eats some space. For my sleeper, though, I put Jalen Redmond. Who was kind of in the rotation there at Oklahoma. And he's got some athletic traits, though. He's got some quicks. I think it's just to see more of him, I think, would be interesting. He's definitely flash. I mean, yeah, that thick six, what was it, the year before last or whatever. So I think just because he wasn't on the field a super amount. So just like mixing in and like playing consistently there, I think it's going to be interesting.
Moving to edge now. Most talented. I'm interested to see who you got up top here.
I put Will McDonald because of the expectations, and I wasn't sure like how much we were going to talk about him elsewise. So, I think this comes with he could be most approved too, but I put a different name. So I definitely agree with you there. But like, just the expectations are there, and he's going to have to show it. I don't disagree.
I put Dylan Horton mainly because like he is so twitchy and powerful.
I put Horton as my biggest riser and my favorite. So
that's good. Yeah. He, again, a guy who didn't get to, like, he played this, like, 4-eye, 5-tech, like, problem-solving, two-gapping defensive lineman for TCU. Getting to see him just rush the pass, I'm really excited to see that. And, again, a guy who went from safety to linebacker to D-line.
Yeah.
I think in this group has the most exciting combo of power and explosiveness.
I totally agree. So who's your biggest riser?
And also, he's a great run defender, which is important. Yes. My biggest riser is Derek Hall.
Okay.
Auburn's Derek Hall.
Auburn's
Derek Hall.
Derek Hall from Auburn? Is that what you're talking about?
Yep. The War Damn Eagle. I got stuck for a sec. He's like a ball of muscle. Like, he is every inch of 6'3", 256. Not stiff, but straight line explosive, but plays with really good leverage. And this man just loves the long arm. And I love pass rushers who use the long arm.
Great, you're right.
Speed to power and long arm are his things. And I just want to see, like, I think he's just a grown-ass man who's just going to be a ball of rage against this tackle group. So I'm really excited to see that.
I like that. Whereas I can throw out where I think he could potentially get stuck a little bit, and that stiffness can come back. It's a good week for him.
Well, that's the thing. We got to see him pass rush plan. We got to see, does he have a counter if the long arm doesn't work? Like, let's see it.
Yeah, agreed. That's a good one.
You said your favorite's Horton?
Yeah.
Mine's Isaiah McGuire, who I think has the best hands of this group. Not a great athlete, 6'4", 275. Not the most explosive athlete, but boy, oh boy, he can get under you. with leverage, and he really mixes passers moves together really well. Like, you'll see him rip a chop, you'll see a club swim, rip and dip, or dip and rip, I mean.
Rip him and dip him, baby. Yep.
You know, he kind of reminds me of Kingsley and Igbari last year, I loved.
Yeah.
Where it's just like, yeah, the athleticism isn't totally there, but dude, this guy knows how to use his hands, and that's important.
I think that's a good comp. So I was going to say, like, I know there's some fans of his, but I think he can be a riser and, like, yeah, like, he's not going to be, like, you know, put himself in the first round conversation, but no, I think that's a good pick. Jumping to most approved, I put Ali Gay here from LSU, who I know, like, there was a love 2 years ago for him, and he's never been poor, but, like, you know, getting outshone by BJ Ojulari opposite of him, and just seeing what he can go out and just prove, like, snap to snap.
You know what I think about Ali Gay? I think he's the day three Zach Harrison. Like, he's got all this size. He's really strong. He doesn't have a lot of, in terms of nuance to his pass rush. He's just kind of trying to bully you off the ball. But
I thought Zach Harrison was a day three Zach Harrison.
Yeah, well, can kick inside. Also, I think the Zach Harrison discourse is course corrected. Like, when Dane didn't put him as, like, a clear first round edge, that helped.
I think
Ali Gay's going to be a very useful player in the NFL. I like that one.
Yeah.
My most approved is obviously Will McDonald. And my sleeper is Canada's own Tavius Robinson, who I love.
They love it. Actually, played college football in Canada too. So
at Guelph,
let's go.
6'6", 265, plays 5-tech, 3-tech, and 4-eye when you need him. Really heavy handed. Not the most explosive athlete, but that size and he's kind of similar vibe to Isaiah McGuire, but not to that same level, I guess.
Unfortunately, Guelph never accepted me, so I can't go on this ride with you, Rob. So my sleeper is going to be Isaiah Land, who I didn't apply to Florida A&M, so I'm good here. just coming from the small school, has the traits, has athleticism, so I want to see what he can do.
Going to linebacker. A little less interesting.
Yeah, it is. A lot less interesting.
But it tends to be. I mean, running back and linebacker aren't the most interesting.
I got different names for each one, so I'm proud of myself.
That's pretty good. Most talented or highest rated, it's Henry Toa.
I put Dorian Williams. I like Dorian Williams better.
This is more so like Henry Toa is...
He is the highest rated by most people.
Consensus top five linebacker.
Yeah.
Maybe even... It's not a great linebacker class.
He's top three for a lot of people.
Yeah, I was going to say.
There's a lot of fans of his, but I feel like it's like not like real draft people, but like randos on Twitter. I feel like it's just like, my team needs a linebacker.
Big name. Big name stat stuffer from Tennessee to Alabama.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's my most approved, so I wanted to spread it around a little bit.
That makes sense. He needs to show he can hang in coverage.
Yeah.
Like, it's hanging coverage and show he can get off blocks, because I thought he got absorbed by a lot of blocks this year too. Like, he's got good instincts and he's a very smart linebacker.
Yeah.
But if he's just getting absorbed by blocks and can't hang in space, like, I don't know.
Give me Jack Campbell instead. You're right.
He's got that length to clog up passing lanes. Dorian Williams, my biggest riser.
Yeah, I think that's a good pick.
He's explosive. He's physical. He plays his ass off. He's my personal favorite as well.
Speaking of explosive and physical, my biggest riser is Servaje Dennis. I think, like, your guy, underrated. I think he can go out and just, like we just said, it's not a great group. I mean, one guy's my clear personal favorite, but it's not that great of a group, and I think he can help himself as a little fucking madman, you know?
Yeah, downhill explosive. You want to hear my comp?
Yeah.
A guy who I liked a couple years ago, didn't get drafted, has found his way into a heck of a career. Aziz Alshaer, the 49ers linebacker.
That's a good comp, yeah.
Thank you.
So that's a big riser. On any other team, Aziz Alshaer is a starting linebacker. I mean,
it's the best linebacker core in the league. Fred Warner, Dre Greenlaw, another hit for me. Whoa, I'm good at these 49ers linebackers. I put him in D winners for most approved because I feel like in this group, it's going to be a lot of Henry Toa talk.
Yeah.
I think Dorian Williams is going to have a little more buzz than them as well, just because, like, Tulane's great year and he's the big leader on defense. I think D winners, given the fact that TCU made the Natty, he doesn't quite get as much attention as some of the other guys.
Yeah, for real, I know.
And the thing with both Dennis and winners is on passing downs, they blitzed a ton.
Yeah.
So getting to see them more consistently in coverage this week is going to be big.
Definitely. And I put D. Winters as my favorite because he is my favorite. Yeah, just coming downhill is a fucking missile. But I agree. Like, you don't get to show that as much of the Senior Bowl. So seeing him just in coverage and just, you know, ins and outs on the in the drills, like, I think it's going to be big for him. I hope he goes out and shines. It feels like a situation where he might not. But yeah, he's still my fave.
And then finally, my sleeper is Aubrey Miller, yeah. The Jackson State linebacker, Missouri transfer, throwing the tape, and he's just going sideline to sideline, kind of a bit of a car crash player, like just trying to blow everything up. A guy who didn't have to do a ton in coverage, similar to these other guys. It's a physical, well, I said that real loud. It's a physical and athletic linebacker crew.
Yeah.
So I'm excited to see him as well.
Yeah, no, I think clearly the sleeper too.
Finally getting the defensive back, starting with corner.
Weird most corner talented. Group, I feel like.
It is a weird corner group. It's a long corner group.
It is.
Big fucking corner group.
It is. I do love that. I put Tarik Stevenson, of course.
Yeah, yeah. He's the big 6'1 press man corner. Does he, I think two things to watch. Does he, how does he look playing the ball in phase? And does he have the athleticism to kind of carry reps deep?
Yeah, I think he's going to go out and kick ass if he wants to live up to Daniel Jeremiah's thing.
I very much feel like he'll come and be like, oh yeah, that's an alpha at corner.
Yeah, he's got a good chance. Speaking of alphas, my biggest riser, my favorite, has got to be my guy Julius Brandt, baby. He's the biggest corner there. Amongst the big corners, I think not by much, but I don't know how I feel about this corner group. So I really just talked to my classics here.
I put him for most approved. I think I gotta see. Does he have the feet like lots?
Yeah,
of,
it's he. Can,
like, he gets tangled and he gets really grabby trying to. Play the ball in phase.
I feel like
I think he could have a bad week.
Yeah, I feel like there's no in between. Either he's going to go out and have a really, really good week or a really, really bad week.
Yeah, like he struggles in man coverage, so it's not great for him.
No, it's not. It really isn't.
My biggest riser, I think, is Rajon Wright, the Oregon State corner. Well, again, another big guy.
I put most approved, but I kind of think he's better. Like, I think it's kind of more of like a riser. Because I just don't think there's a clear... I don't think there's a clear riser in this group.
Rajon Wright, I think, just has a interesting combination of length and like bouncy athleticism.
Yeah. Yeah.
And for him, it's like, I mean, his brother Nashawn got drafted day two for the potential. And it's just about like can we clean up the feet a bit? Can we clean up finding the ball in phase? Can we? How are his eyes in zone?
Yeah.
But he, I think, set up to get a lot of hype this week.
I agree with you.
Do you want to know who my number two rated corner, after Tarik Stevenson, my personal favorite in this group is?
No.
Oh, you don't want to know.
Tell me, Rob. Let's go.
Tune in next week to find out. Daryl Luter, South Alabama corner.
I put him as a sleeper. Not that he really is. I know that there's lots of fans. But just, you know, coming out of the small school and being the hometown guy, I know you liked him. So, go ahead.
I think he has great feet. He is really good in press man. Like, he's not as big as these other guys, but he's so fundamentally and technically sound, where these other guys maybe aren't as much, but they kind of make up for it.
I think they'll help him with this group of receivers too.
Yeah, I think a big week is coming. Like, his click and close, his ability to mirror off the line, he's really patient. Mm-hmm. I think he's a very underrated guy.
Hence why I put him for sleeper.
Who's your fave?
Julius Prince, of course. I got to.
Okay. My most approved is Julius Prince. Who's yours?
I put Rajon Wright, like we just talked about. Who'd you put for sleeper?
Sleeper. I think over the summer we liked Anthony Johnson. Virginia didn't have a great year. Kind of that wasn't talked about a lot.
True.
Good long man press corner. I think another guy. I think he's gonna have a really solid week. And you know what? I put Darius Rush kind of here as well. Just. I think all these corners are interesting. Darius Rush, I have a high-end UDFA grade on, but he's like fluid hips, clean feet. I just don't know that he has the athleticism to hang. Maybe a convert to safety guy.
Yeah, that's true. No, there's like a good amount of these dudes could be potential safeties. And unfortunately for them, the safety group is better.
Yeah, the safety group's great. Most talented, Christopher Smith.
Agreed, yeah. And then for biggest riser, I put Jamie Robinson.
Yep. we're on in phase lockstep. In phase lockstep. Thank you. Do you know who my favorite? I got weird favorite DBs. You know who my favorite in this group is?
I can guess. I'm gonna guess.
Yes.
Jay Ward.
Correct. I love Jay Ward.
He put him for sleeper. I haven't watched. I hadn't watched much, and I watched him. I'm like, holy fuck, Jay Ward is awesome.
Yeah, just only plays nickel, really. But like, he'll kick back to safety. But like a 6'2" true nickel, who is really willing to hit.
Yeah, he's got that length and like, he's got that great tackle range at the point. He just flies downhill. Like, he's
very fluid hips.
He's good. I like Jay Ward a lot. Yeah.
I don't think he, like, I don't know why, but like, he's just not getting enough.
It's so talk right it's now. So weird for an LSU DB to not. Like, it's really weird.
And a guy who's like been like, he's like a 3-year starter at nickel.
Yeah, I like Ward a lot. I think he's gonna go out and blow it up. I put him for sleeper because he's not getting talked about, weirdly. And my personal favorite, probably Christopher Smith, just to double down. But yeah, Ward is awesome.
Yeah, agreed. Most approved. I put DeMarco Helms.
So did I. Yeah, and
where he's kind of like we've talked about, like the workman.
Yeah.
Box too deep, like can be too deep, but more of a box, physical tackler, great instincts, but does he have enough athleticism? How?
Like, yeah, it can go both ways. It can go both ways. Yeah. Where like he can shed this workman, blah blah blah, and become more than that, or the athleticism could get exposed. It really is. It's a big week for him.
Mm-hmm. And it's just because like on top of that, like Jordan Battle and Brian Branch are viewed as two top five safeties in this class.
At worst.
His teammates. Yeah. So, like, can. And he was kind of, I feel like, the afterthought, but did so much for that Bama defense.
He did. Absolutely did.
And then, of course, the sleeper.
Go ahead. Yeah. Mine was Ward.
No, it's Marte Mapu, the Sacramento State call up from the NFLPA.
Of course. Bowl. I forgot.
Six. Hand up. No, I know nothing about him. He got called up last night.
Me neither.
6'3", 217-pound nickel.
Okay.
Yeah. Are you in?
I'm in, yeah.
Yeah, but this safety group's really fun. Like, the fact that, like, again, Christopher Smith and Jamie Robinson could come out of here as, like, lock top 50 picks.
Yeah.
And then DeMarco Helms and Jay Ward both look like starting DBs.
Yeah, man. Yeah. Like, Ward, like he's really, like, he, showing up in that in man-to-man and stuff, he could, and playing nickel and all of that, he could really, like, become.
And because like, in their bowl game,
yeah.
because of injuries, he was starting at outside corner.
That's funky. That's really funky.
Yeah, like he can play every spot in the second.
I mean, teams are looking for that big nickel now in the NFL.
Exactly.
And he could be the. I mean, coming forward, I got no questions, man. He's fucking awesome.
Agreed. Agreed. All right. How you feel about doing the national team tomorrow?
Oh, I'm even more excited. I love the. Well, you know me. I'm a national team homer, Rob. American team. Those are big rivals. And
do you want to do quarterback talk off the top again?
No, I don't. Not at all.
But we don't know which teams they're on.
Okay, we'll just clip it from today's show and put it tomorrow.